Pháp thoại mà các bạn đang nghe được phát từ phatam.com, website hàng đầu về truyền thông đa phương tiện Phật giáo.
Good evening, my dear brothers, sister, and friends. Today is November 16, 2012. We are having our weekly meditation session. First of all, I would like to visit all of you and hope that you have a good week. And very nice to see you all back. I just back from many activities in Japan, the United States, more than a month. So just back a few days ago. And welcome all of you to the meditation session. How are you today? You enjoy the weather? When I come back here, a little bit colder than the States. My last destination is in New York, Rochester City, where I lead the retreat and giving a public lecture there. And I also have a chance to pay a quick visit to New York City, where they have the Sandy hurricane. Still cleaning. When I come back after a month in our community, in our Sangha, we have lost the four members. And as you can see that Sư Cô Thanh Quang, the nun there, and also the other three ladies in the community. And you can see that life is very fragile, impermanent. Before I left, Sư Cô Thanh Quang came to say hello to me and goodbye, because in the tradition, when a monk travel to somewhere, and the members in the temple will come to visit and like say you have a good trip and stuff like that, and she also come to wish me have a good trip. And I remember she said that I am not feeling well. I don't know whether when you come back this time, you have a chance to see me or not. So it's like she knows what's going on with her health. And so after I left, not too long, maybe a week later, and I have learned that she fainted and very sick. And a few days later, I have received the news that she passed away. And I could not come back because I already have plans and everything. So I'm very lucky that the master home with the members to take care for her funeral. And also the other three ladies, members of the temple. These are all bells to awake us from our forgetfulness. One of the most suffer that to all of our self, that is, we do not have a mindful living. And you can see that in our daily life, we have two things to focus and worry. We are focused to our material life, and sometimes we forgot the spiritual life. We too much care for the material life, like fancy clothes, fancy food, fancy place to stay, and so many things like that. And because we want to have a pleasure material life, so we are running. We are running, chasing, and we don't have much time. Somebody don't have much time to take care. That means once a while they will come and practice. Once a while they take some time to to practice, and sometimes they totally don't care about that. But when the suffering comes, when the reality of life, the negatives of life come to ourselves, and we have no way to face, to deal, and to calm down. That's why the practicing is very needed. Because when we receive the true message of life, that means we get ready for something. So if that comes, we still sad, but we will not that much suffer. We will not that much suffer because we already know what's going on with life. So that's why Buddhism, the Buddha taught us reflecting on death, reflecting on suffering. Reflecting, that doesn't mean to make we feel sad about life, but in order for us to get ready to understand the true facts of life. Do not misunderstanding, do not have any wrong perception about life. Sometimes some young students, they too much focusing on technology, like computer and, laptop, and, they run after. They always want to change the new update laptop and technology like that. And I said, those things never stop. They are unlimited because they are commercial. That means they will create so many more things in order to run their business. But our life is very limited, and also your budget is also limited. How can you run after that all the time? Just find something that enough, that fit for your needed. Otherwise, you have no time for that. So I remind them about that. I met some of them. They work so hard and to try to save some money, and then they buy a very expensive camera just to walk around and take pictures. That's art, that's nice, but we are unable to justify it. We never justify because too much. So the word enough in Buddhism doesn't mean we don't do anything, but we need to reflect on our conditions, how much you can adapt. Otherwise, we were overwhelmed for something, and then we will suffer for that. So that's why when we practicing, what do we practice? We practice on the body, we practice on our mind, our thought. Somebody, they will say, it's hard for me to focus. My mind is not pure. My mind is not calm. So I will not come to practice until when I, you know, get a little bit older, my mind is calm, my life is more stable, I will come to the practice. But do we think when we feel our life is stable? Never. You see that right now, still a lot of disaster. That means about the world. I don't mean we still not talk about our personal life. So many things going on. So like after 4 weeks away from the temple, when I come back, I have like thousands of emails. Thay, can you please help me this and this and that? And I'm unable to answer them all, but slowly. And one box of letters, mails. So I come back on Tuesday morning, and up to this moment, I still, you know, each day I only can reply some mails, and still take lot of mails coming. But those are all sharing their, you know, unstable. How come I'm not satisfied this and that? So therefore, we need to reflect. What do the Buddha mean by practicing on your body? Does it mean we try to have lot of good food, not good clothes? Warmth, enough warmth. Enough to make us satisfy our hunger. In China, there was a Zen master. He lived in about the 6th century. And one day he wrote a poem, a gatha. And this is what this gatha is. Our body is like the Bodhi tree, and our mind a mirror bright. Carefully we wipe them hour by hour and let no dust alight. We need to reflect. Our body is like a Bodhi tree. Do you know what is a Bodhi tree? This is just a regular tree that Prince Siddhartha, we known as the Buddha, he found that tree in the forest, very big, very huge, able to cover his body when he practicing meditation in 49 days. And the original name of the tree is Pipala. That is the original name of the tree. But because the Buddha attained the Buddha's hood, we call Bodhi. Bodhi means awake. Bodhi means awake. So the fruit that the Buddha attained is Bodhi. The Buddha awakes. So after he awakes under that tree, so from that time on, that from now on, we call Bodhi tree. The tree of awakening. Because there was a person who awaked. Awake doesn't mean he sleep and now he awake. But awake from ignorance. We awake from forgetfulness. Let's say many years in the past, we have not understand anything about life. We have make our life sunk down in the ocean of suffering. One day, we listen to one of the talk. And that thought awakes us. That thought touches to the right button. And everything starts to raise again. So one of the thing that the Buddha mentioned, the most suffering of life, is that we have no understanding. We have no insight, no wisdom. It's not stable. This is what the Buddha have said in the Lotus Sutra. In the three realms of life, of the world, never stable. No safe. And that is very true. Earthquake, disaster, flood. I just fly back from, after I flew back from Tokyo, one day only, the other day, earthquake. So therefore, we should see that this body is also very important. That's why this Zen master, Thần Tú, sends you. He said, reflect on the body. This body is a Bodhi tree. Because when you plant a tree, what do? We need to take good care for the tree, for the plant. We need to water. We need to take some of the yellow leaf out. We need to take good care for the branch, the leaf, the root. And also sometimes we need to change the soil. Same thing. This body needs some care. But do not overcare. But cannot mistreat. Because we need to use this body like a boat to cross over the ocean. This body is like a draft. We need to use the body to practice. Like every day, you do meditation, sitting quietly for 5-10 minutes before you go to bed. Or today, you sit for half an hour and you do slow walk around the hall for 10-15 minutes. This is what we call mindful action. Usually, we are very active. We sit, we walk, we do something, but those actions never bring any peace. But now, we changed the way we act. We changed the action. Try to sit quietly. When the body able to calm, the mind also calm along with the body. And when the body is calm, the mind also calm. The mind is calm, the body also calm. Because the body and the mind only one. Slow walk. Do some slow walk each day. Or do some sitting meditation. If you are practicing the 5 mindfulness training and the 5th training set, aware of the suffering caused by unmindful consumption, I vow to cultivate my mindfulness to intake anything that able to nourish my physical body. Sometimes we eat so many things that unable to bring good health to our body. Anything is too much, it's become poison. We need to keep that in mind. For example, junk food, always tasty and delicious. We all love junk food. But if we eat too much, junk food can become poison. Even the multivitamins, if we overtake, this will come side effect. No good. So therefore, the Buddha advised us to eat with mindfulness. There was a king at the Buddha's time. One day, he came to the Buddha and he said, Buddha, I am suffer on my body because I am too fat. I am too fat. The Buddha said, then try to eat less. He said, I can't. You know, I am a king. Every day I have like hundreds of dishes. And every single dish is so tasty. Then how can I control my craving? The Buddha said, then you need the second body. You need a second body. You need a bodyguard who can sit beside you and control your craving. I have an uncle, and he like to eat good food. He like dessert. He likes sweet stuff. He like bread. But he has very high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and stuff like that. And one day he eat, and he come to a friend's house, and he just eat and eat, and his daughter sit beside him and say, Dad, watch your food, watch your food. He said, please give me some. And I said, wow, today you have a bodyguard, a second body. We need a second body to remind us. Sometimes we are unable to taming ourselves. For example, if you go to Friday class, if let's say this hall is only one person, still can practice, but a little bit sad if we have another person who can sit beside us and practice. So a sangha, a community, a group is very needed, because the group will protect and support and encourage us in the practice. Vietnamese people used to say, ăn cơm có canh, tu hành có bạn. When you eat, it's nice to have a bowl of soup. When you practice, it's nice to have a friend. That's what Vietnamese people use example for the group of the practice. It's nice to have a bowl of soup in the meal. It's the same thing. It's very nice to have a friend to practice with. So if you are brothers, you are sister, come together, because one can support each other and you can share. Like husband and wife, if they come, they both come to the practice, very nice, because they can come home and they can share what they have learned, how they practice. Beautiful. You know, when I'm young, like 15, 16 years old, I never take good care for my health. Because at that age, everybody the same. I'm healthy, I don't care about the winter, you know, I can eat anything. And now, at the age of 30 and over, and you will know. And Thai is one of the good examples for young people. If you don't listen to the advisor, you don't listen to your bodyguard, you don't listen to your second body, and even though you are not that old, but you have a lot of sickness, a lot of unfeeling, unwell in your body. Now my digestion is not as good as before. My heart also have problem. My liver, stuff like that. But you know, when you lose your health, and you will see your health is very precious. Do you know what the Buddha said? In this life, there are two things that most valuable of your life. First, your health. Second, your understanding. That's the Buddha said. There are two things very valuable for your life. Very precious, valuable, unable to find again if you lose it. First, your health. Second, your understanding, your wisdom. So I want to remind the Sangha. Some food that you bring into your body, you intake for your body, you must be reflect how much you can take. Now the doctor told me, I only can eat 80%, like not too full. I only can eat 80%. So therefore, when we're still healthy, we should appreciate, we should be happy and practice. Because when you get old, you want to sit, you don't want to move. You feel weird, like you sit in the group and you move all the time, but too bad. When you were young, you don't have a chance to practice. It's okay, but your picture is a good example for younger people who can learn to sit and practice. So I think the gatha is simple, but it's very useful, very helpful for our daily practice. Our body is the Bodhi tree. Take good care for your Bodhi tree. Killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, those are all the three things basically we can practice on the body. Anything is not belong to us, do not take. If we want, we ask. Sexual misconduct is one of the important practice, and it's very hard too, because with our century, 21st century, with our very technology society, a lot of books, magazines, websites, conversation, and those very easy for us to involve. And we may easily to break the third mindfulness training, the third practice. And because we are not mindful on this, that's why a lot of sickness, a lot of breaking in our family society. So what is the Buddha mean? Practice on the body. Take good care for the body. Does it mean you go to the haircut once every 2 weeks, try to buy expensive clothes? That is not take care for the body. Take care for the body means first practicing. No killing, no stealing, no sexual misconduct. And also be careful on the food that you take to your body. Everything, they have calorie, they have some vitamins in there. But we need to know, we need to understand our body, how much we can take. And sometimes it's very funny. You eat too much fat food, and you get fat, and you sue the company who sell those kind of things. Because of your food, have a lot of fat. And you make me addicted. I eat that too much, and now I get fat. I need to sue your company. Stuff like that. And now this Zen master said, our mind is a mirror, very bright. Now we're practicing on the body, we're practicing on the mind. What do we do with our mind? Very simple, very short, mindful thought. Like before you do something, you reflect on what you do. Your friends invite you for a smoke. You almost smoke. And you can reflect. This one secret. What can this secret bring to my body? And you can see only make my lung darker, sickness. Make my body smell bad. Make my breath smell bad. Waste money, helpless. So before the body act, reflect. Before we take something from others, we need to reflect. That's what we call practicing on body. Now practicing on the mind. When we have hate, we know we are having angry. We are angry now. I am angry now. When we have ignorance, we know when we have greed, we know. When we have doubt, we doubt on many, so many things. When we have what we call the pride in us, we know. In Buddhist, we practice putting our hands together like this. Joining the palm like this and bow. Why we bow? Bow to help us to practice to reduce the pride, the energy of pride, the percentage of pride in us. Very humble. Be humble. You bow. I respect you. I bow. You respect me. You bow. So lot of bow. So bows is a practice. And somebody will say, when I bow, that means I say hello. But he never say hello to me first. Don't worry about that. The thing is, we practice. And keep in mind, when you want people to respond something, do that first. We say hello first, people will hello back. If we expect others to do it first, why don't we? And if we're able to do that, we are a real practitioner. There was a Zen master who talked to his students. The student said, Master, where do you go after you die? The master said, oh, I am going to hell. And the student said, oh, isn't that we practice so when we die we go to heaven, we go to pure land? And he said, if everybody go to pure land, who will go to hell? So what does that mean? That doesn't mean we practice, we go to hell, but it means we need to use this body and the mind, go to the darkness. Go to somewhere as difficulties in order to help. Hell symbolized for difficulties area. If everybody refuse the hard work, choose the easy work, and who will do the hard work? Like somebody cooking, but somebody need to use the shovel to shovel the snow. If everybody get into the kitchen, it's very no space and lot of snow outside, nobody take care for. So that means each of us, we can be a bodhisattva and we can stay different corners of life. We can visit different corners of life. That's why in Buddhism, so many bodhisattvas, so many picture images. It means each of the bodhisattvas take care for one action, one practice. Somebody, they come to the temple, what they do? Always stand around the sink to do washing. And I call that person the Bodhisattva washing up Bodhisattva. Somebody only sweep the floor, clean the hallway. Somebody stay in this main hall, walk around, take good care for the main hall. So that is the Bodhisattva taking care for the main hall. And you can see that if you walk on the street, you can see Bodhisattva stand every corners of the street. If nobody take care for the electricity, the traffic lights, will be accident. So if that traffic light have problem, you will see someone's there from the city and try to fix it. So we can be the Bodhisattva in many ways. Every thought that your mind raise, but you know this is the bad thought. Reflect on that. Try to clear that. That is practicing about on the mind. Our mind is very bright, very clean, very pure. But how come we don't see it? Because we have attained so many dust of life, like hate, jealousy, so many things like that is covered. So now we go back and reflect, I need to clean my mind. Actually, we need to clean the dust. We don't clean the mind because the mind already pure. It's like a mirror. If you let the mirror sit there for a month or a year, no cleaning, the dust will cover the mirror. So now what you do is you need to clean the dust. So once the dust disappears, the mirror reflects. Our mind is like a clear mirror, a very bright mirror, just because the dust cover, the dust of life, the dust of jealousy, the dust of hate, the dust of ignorance, the dust of doubt, the dust of the wrong view. So the Buddha reminds, wrong view can lead to the wrong thought, wrong thinking. Is that true? If you see something wrong, you will think wrong. So soon you think it wrong, you will say it wrong. You will act it wrong. So one, the very first beginning is wrong, it can lead to many other wrongs. So the Buddha, on the teaching of the Eight Noble Paths, the first one is right view. Because when you have the right view, you will have the right thinking. You will have the right action. You will have the right livelihood. You will have the right effort. You will have the right understanding. So one is right, the other is right. One is wrong, the others are wrong. So it's very important that we start with right instead of wrong. And how can we know exactly, is there any guarantee that is 100% right or wrong? No guarantee, but at least most of it will be right. Because you at least, before you do it, before you start, you have some reflecting, you have some thinking about that. Don't just do it without any understanding, without any reflecting. There's nothing guaranteed in this life. But if you have thought about that, if you are thinking about that, the percent of wrong reduce. The percentage of right can increase. Sometimes we see things only one side. For example, if I ask you, how is my hand? And people in front here will say, white. But people at the back will argue, no, it's black. And somebody will say, it's thin. And somebody on that side will know, it's thick. There's nothing completely wrong. But we are unable to describe the whole thing of the hand, because we just describe based on the sign we see, the thing we see in front of us. And the Buddha said, because of that, that's why we have a lot of argument. Once we can see the whole thing, things will be better. Life will be better. So that's why the Buddha encouraged us to practice on deep looking. Because when you can have, when you can able to practice the deep looking on each of the situation, you can see many spots of a thing. And you can slowly describe it and to make people understanding more, but not only one side. Because one side still the view, but that can lead to the argument, to the suffering. Do not attach to what you have learned. Because your learning may be appropriate and fit for that situation, that time, but maybe later on is no more update. It can be changed because life never stays the same. And the teachings cannot stay the same. It needs to update based on how things change, so we can teach and we can learn and we can practice better. A young monk in Vietnam, a long time ago, has been trained differently than training a young monk in this society. For example, in Vietnam, at my time, we do not dare to against anything that our parents order us. If we do something wrong, we have to face to the wall or lie down on bed, and our parents will use a big stick and slap on our bum. The teacher in Vietnam have the right, you know, to teach their children, the students, the same as their parents. No one have the right to complain on the teacher. But now, the society change, then the teacher unable to do that anymore. But that means, you know, different time. If we attach to what we have learned, you come to the West and you say, I will live exactly when I was back in Vietnam, then we will suffer because nothing satisfies us. Nothing makes us happy. In Vietnam, if a guest come to the house, the children need to come out, put your hands around like this, bow and say hello. But now, you know, a senior come to their house and they say, hi. And then you say, why you say that? It's very rude. You know, but that's normal in here. You know, hi in Vietnam means number two. And sometimes I teasing them, I say, no, I'm only one. When they say hi, I say, no, I'm only one. Hi means two. So in Vietnamese people used to, when they see you, instead of say hi, they put two fingers. This is mean hi in Vietnam. Hi mean two. And hi in English mean hello. They give two fingers. And somebody say, one day I met a young friend and he did that to me. And his mother said, "No, you are not allowed to do that to Thầy." I said, "Don't worry, still better than one finger." Sometimes you need to be a little bit, bring some sense of humor to your life. It makes you feel comfortable. Last week when I was in New York, and there was a family invite me to come to visit their house. And when I came in, and they sit on the floor and talk to me. And after I back to Canada, and the mother called me and apologized. They said, "Thầy, my son-in-law, he complained. How come when Thầy come, we did not show our fully respect? We need to stand up and to talk. We are not allowed to sit and talk." And I said, "Don't worry about that. To me, it's very simple. You still allow me to come to visit your house. That's my pleasure. We talk like friends, like brother, sister. That's nice enough. We don't talk anything to make angry, to make each other feel unhappy. That's nice enough." So sometimes we need to be simple on what we think. Simple on your daily life, and then you will have a simple life. Sometimes you can smile easily. And if you have too much pressure on each of the things, it makes you a lot of pressure in your mind, and you are unable to live your freedom life. Freedom or not, it's not someone can give you, but based on how you view things, how you reflect on things in order to take it easy, to accept it easy. And sometimes a senior do not accept things that easy, because they have a lot of expectation on many things. We understand. That's why we don't have any problem with them. But we can explain how come they cannot easily smile, they cannot easily get along with, because they frame so many things that they have learned. So one of the teachings of the Buddha is, do not frame yourself on what you have learned. Do not hold. Do not attach. Do not attach doesn't mean we detach, but we need to be flexible on what you have learned. Sometimes today you need to do this, but tomorrow you could change. You can have the high expectation on yourself, but very hard for you to have a high expectation on others. And sometimes you need to give yourself a break. And sometimes you need to learn how to say no to yourself. That means don't do that. So the teaching of the Buddha on practicing on the body, practicing on the mind is like that. With your mind, simple. Sometimes you receive any kind of message, a simple way to make you feel more comfortable, more easy. Do not think, "Oh, I need to be very careful on this person. What he say, I need to understand 10 times than what he said." And sometimes you just pressure yourself and make yourself headache. And actually, maybe that thing is very simple, not as complicated as you thought. And I always give an example. You have an application form, and they have maybe 30 boxes, and they say, "Fill your last name." If your last name only 3 letters, 4 letters, just fill exactly as you need. Don't worry about the other empty boxes. And sometimes we think, no, they have 30 empty boxes here, that means something here. And you just sit there and suffering with a question, what do we do with these empty boxes? And sometimes we give us ourselves in that way. And very hard for us to smile, to get along with people, or to make people feel comfortable when they're dealing with us. A simple life also can bring a simple death, a very peaceful death. So I remember I have read the message. Peaceful living, peaceful passing. Sometimes you always very easy to others, and the effect is people will very easy with you. And when you can have an easy mind, it show on your face. You can easy smiling, easy socialize, easy to talk with, easy to make friends with. It show on the face. People can feel that kind of energy in you. So your practicing is the root, and it will show out. People can feel that energy when they come close to you. Sometimes by looking at the way of that person walk, you already feel peace, because you can feel the peaceful step of them. Their peaceful steps. Very peaceful smiling, very peaceful voice. You can feel. So let me repeat the gatha, and we can keep this in mind to apply in our daily life. Our body is the Bodhi tree, and our mind is a mirror bright. Carefully we wipe them hour by hour, and let no dust alight. Take care for the body. Take care for the mind. Thank you very much for your time, your patience, your listening, and hope to see you next Friday. Have a good weekend.